From cowboys to shrimpers, astronauts to farmers, and roughnecks to loggers. For true Texans, there's only one place to celebrate the Lone Star State. That's right here with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without the corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, conservative cities, Lubbock and Abilene, for example, have state reps ranked far from the conservative part of the House GOP caucus. And it's on all the major rankings so far. We'll talk about that. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Well, check for safety with drug testing. AlliedCompliance.com is where you go to find out more. AlliedCompliance.com. Governor Abbott says he's going to take donations for the border barriers that he wants us to build. ERCOT and its latest energy alerts, that's become grist for the political mill, and I had some listeners say some things that are interesting on that. Arrest made in the sad, long case of Haley Dunn, that news breaking last night. We've got much more news of Texas all to come. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, my friends, it is a great day to be a Texan. It's going to be a great day on Wednesday, the 30th of June, 6 to 9 p.m. Music, dinner from Bell's Chicken Dinner House, and a big speech by me, the theme Standing Strong, a Celebration of Liberty, put together by Q Country 96.1 FM, our Abilene affiliate, and the fine folks at Denton Valley Farms. And we're looking forward to that. You have to get tickets to that event. Go to PrattOnTexas.com or the Q Country website. You'll find the link there for tickets and get that done. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can find all the information there. I sent a big notice out on that with all the details to our listener club members, last week, I think. So you need to get your tickets done. They got to have the count for the caterer. It'll be a lot of fun, my friends. Now, today in Texas history, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, professional surveillance, witness interviews, and statements, and more. They do background checks, lots of things. Investigate for more at USAinvestigations.net. USAinvestigations.net, N-E-T. I always like this one when it comes up on Today in Texas History, 15 June 1921. Texas woman becomes the first black licensed pilot. That's right, it was Bessie Coleman, became the world's first licensed black pilot, native of Atlanta, Texas. Graduated from high school in Waxahachie and attended Colored Agricultural and Normal University in Oklahoma. That's what it was called. Moved to Chicago, then went to France, went to Aviation School, Federal Aeronautique Internationale, and that's in France. Issued, they were a big leader in flight early on. Issued her pilot's license. She flew her first air show at Curtis Field near Manhattan in 1922, took part in many more shows and daredevil stunts, earned her the nickname Brave Bessie. Sadly, she was killed during a test flight in 1926 in Florida. She's buried in Lincoln Cemetery in Chicago. A street in Chicago is named for Bessie Coleman, Bessie Coleman Drive. And there's been a stamp from the post office issued in her honor in 1995. Sadly, this was also the day in 1943 when there was a big whites and blacks race riot in Beaumont after workers at a shipyard learned a white woman accused a black man of raping her, and it was just people at their most awful, absolutely most awful. Anyway, Today in Texas History, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, USAinvestigations.net. We've got so much to talk about, my friends, and the big story, of course, breaking last evening was that an arrest has been made in the murder of the little Colorado City teenager, Haley Dunn. If you'll remember, the 13-year-old cheerleader in Colorado City went missing in December of 2010. Her remains were found in 2013 near Lake J.B. Thomas over in Scurry County. The KRBC reporting a private investigator working the 2010 disappearance and death of 13-year-old Haley Dunn says Sean Adkins was arrested and charged with murder. He was long considered the person of interest in this. You know, he was her mother's boyfriend at the time. The only other arrest ever made in the case was her mother, Billy, when police simply accused her of lying about where this guy had been, where his whereabouts. That was back in 2011. And Howard County jail records show Adkins is in jail and has a $2 million bond there to meet to get out. And the private investigator assigned to the case said that Big Country homepage, or KRBC, KTAB folks, the arrest is connected to her disappearance and death. Haley Dunn's mother said she's elated and relieved an arrest was made. KRBC reporting that the mom says law enforcement didn't contact her to tell her about the arrest. She was alerted to it by their station app, the BigCountryHomepage.com app push alert. First and foremost, I'm so elated and I'm so relieved that it's finally happened, she told BigCountryHomepage.com in an exclusive phone interview late yesterday. The investigator, they're carrying a big story by Noah McKinney and Joey Hollingsworth at KRBC and BigCountryHomepage.com. The headline, Haley Dunn investigator can't get away with this type of crime for 10 years without help. I don't know about that. That's pretty much pure speculation. The problem people get when they open their mouths, if they're the only ones that knew what they did and they kept their mouths shut, then people have gotten away with this stuff for more than a century or more. You know, I mean, it just happens. Investigator said, this isn't tied to just one piece of evidence. This is a story. This is a narrative that will clearly lay out and define what happened in those days leading up to Haley's disappearance and the days after and probably the subsequent few months. So there's still many questions that go unanswered, and we'll see. But again, you know, be careful on speculating from either side on something like that. It's just that, speculation. And speaking of bad stuff, KRBC also reporting that Abilene police say Joel Rakesh Laundrie Thomas of Abilene was arrested in connection to the homicide of his grandmother, 68-year-old Judy Jones. They went to a call yesterday morning. Family member reportedly went in the place and found the grandmother dead. Well, this is sick. A teen girl was killed in Sweetwater in a pedestrian accident on I-20 a week or so back, June 8th, and we've learned it was Jacqueline Page Ansel, 14, and DPS confirmed that they're still investigating this. She was Eula High School student, active in basketball and softball, and recently became a published poet. And Rowlett residents are upset that their mayor went and issued one of these pro-homosexual proclamations. That's what the pride thing is. The pride thing is have pride in homosexuality. And lit up the water tower in rainbow colors, again, profaning God's great promise about the flood. And isn't it funny, a group engaging in the things that led to the flood and to the wiping out of humanity decided to pick that up as their logo. They like profaning things on the godless left. I'm not talking about all homosexuals. I'm talking about these political people that do these things. Anyway, they're upset and people are mad at the mayor. Now there's a big deal to get that pride proclamation reversed in Rowlett, according to the Dallas Voice, which is a news outlet, some reason dedicated to for homosexuals. I don't quite know why you have to have your own news outlet, but anyway. And then again, the persecution continues. Here we go again. A state appeals court's added another delay in the long-delayed securities criminal, the case against Attorney General Paxton. The three-judge panel of the Houston First Court Appeals ordered his case to be returned to his home county, as it should be, and go get going. And then the prosecutors, the persecutors, these high-paid guys have asked all the court to hear it en banc, and they haven't heard it yet, but they gave an order for Paxton's lawyers to respond to the request. So that further delays him ever getting a day in court, and that's what they want. The legal team for Paxton's wanted to go to trial since all this started. You know, they got it in the federal court, and the federal court threw the whole thing out. Same charges. We'll see. But again, they want this as a political issue in Texas, and they don't want the man to get his day in court, and it's just justice delayed, justice denied. Back in a moment.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Front on Texas, we'll be right back after this.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
He's a bullfrog with a bullhorn, and he's not afraid to use it. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. U.S. power and natural gas prices spike in Texas and California heat wave. That's a story by Reuters today, pointing out that ERCOT, a big grid that most of Texas is on, thankfully for me, at least for now, the True Texan Studio is still on the Southwest Power Pool, has urged consumers yesterday to conserve energy all week. Turns out a bunch of generating capacity went out of service, and just all at one time, probably due to repairs and things. And of course, this is all grist for the political mill. State Rep. Brooks Landgraf of Odessa demanding explanation from ERCOT following calls for Texans to conserve energy. Okay. ERCOT leadership on forced outages. It's very concerning. Piece at KCBD-TV. And of course, everybody in Lubbock's on pins and needles because they just switched over to this thing for 70% of the city. But ERCOT reported 3 to 4 times the number of forced outages in its system than what it expects this time of year yesterday afternoon. And leaders say they're not expecting outages at this time. But by the way, they talked to Southwest Power Pool and they said, yeah, we had a resource alert, but we don't have any problems. And then Lubbock's Chamber of Commerce had sent a letter to the governor urging to make ERCOT a top priority in the special session. Wait a minute. The governor said that he signed the bill that fixed all the problems. That's right. He did. I told you that was arrogant. And there you go. Don Huffines running against Abbott's got the press release out saying the power grid failure is unacceptable. Here's one line. Less than a month before today's power outage shortage, Governor Abbott expressed confidence and reassurance in the Texas power grid. Just last Tuesday, he declared that new reforms, quote, fixed all of the flaws, end quote, that caused the February power outages. And Huffines said Texas deserves a governor who can keep the lights on. This is ridiculous. While the February snowstorm might have been a surprise, a hot Texas summer is one of the most obvious and predictable events to prepare for. Abbott should retract his statement that recent efforts fixed all of the flaws plaguing Texas power grid and work on solving the problems that clearly still exist. This is a national embarrassment. The Democrats would love to run against Abbott's track record of failure next year. That's from Huffines, grist for the political mill. Had two listener letters on this, and one I wanted to address. Robert wrote from the big country. He wrote, I'm 27 years old and born and reared here north of Abilene. I've been listening to you, and I've got a question. How come in my short 27 years I can never remember being told we need to conserve energy until the snow apocalypse came in February? Why are we running short all of a sudden? Well, I wrote him back, and I said, Robert, actually, I think I said dear greatly named. His name's Robert. Actually, they do issue these save energy alerts many times a year. I get all these, especially in summer when there's a heat wave or generation capacity problem. It is very routine. And what you're seeing is media hyping these more or more strongly amplifying such simply because of the recent memory of the winter storm issue. And that's right. And it's a good question. They do this all the time. You just hadn't been noticing, and it's getting amplified more. But the alerts come all often. And then Jonathan had a great one. One of our listeners had a great piece here. He said, as I was turning off my pool pumps to conserve power, by the way, that means he'll probably end up with an algae bloom and a mess. Turning off my pool pumps to conserve power during this week's ERCOT crisis, I had a thought. Governor Abbott should use his emergency powers. That's right. He's all proud of these. and issue an executive order to Tesla and other electric vehicle makers to force them to send an update to the cars that prevent all EVs geolocated in Texas from accepting a charge during peak hours, you know, like 4 to 7 p.m. when there's an ERCOT-ordered conservation notice. John from Wichita Falls. He gets it. I actually don't believe Abbott should have any such emergency powers. Right, but I get it. That's a great point. It's a great point. They would like that, except it takes all those fossil fuels they don't like to generate the power. Apparently, several plants were out with problems. It's just things that happen like that, and they're not totally short. They just don't have as much reserve as they would like to have, my friends. And you know, who knows? The conspiracy-minded might want to think that some of the generators are colluding with the Berkshire Hathaway crowd, Warren Buffett, who wanted, you know, wants the state to go along with that plan to pay them billions of dollars to construct plants that sit there and do nothing but wait until there's an emergency, and who knows? But the alerts and the worries are normal. Get them all the time, especially in the summer, but get them in the winter, too, from ERCOT. And they are normal. You're just seeing more amplification of that, and, you know, for good reasons. Now, let's turn to those with a lack of reason, and that would be Democrats and leftists. Nicole Cobbler in The Statesman today had a piece. After Austin mass shooting, Democrats call for gun control and urge Abbott to veto permitless carry bill. That's right. Representative Vicki Goodwin, Democrat, Austin, urged Abbott to veto the permitless carry bill in a letter Monday, and he has till Sunday to sign or veto it. If he does nothing, it becomes automatically becomes law without him signing it. And frankly, he'd already said he would sign it. I don't know. Who knows? Probably got a big press deal set up for it. But here's what's funny about that. And they got a whole bunch of other Sarah Eckhart, state senator, used, you know, famous political family in Democrat circles in Texas, was the county judge in Travis County, then took over, won that Senate seat recently in a special election. They're all mad. They're angry. Here's the problem with that. Gun control won't affect any of that. What we know from a big piece in Honest Austin is that both suspects in the deadly 6th Street shootout are, well, let me change the wording from what they write, subject to the most draconian of laws and restrictions. That's right. It appears they were both juveniles. Yep. Started some kind of disturbance between two suspects, according to the police chief. And they made a first arrest Saturday afternoon, did not release the name because he's a juvenile. Second suspect was arrested yesterday in Killeen. The Killeen Public School District police pulled the boy out of a summer school class. They identified him as Jeremiah Rashawn Leland James Tabb, 17. Oh, and about laws stopping this kind of thing. See, what Democrats really want is for you to have to be disarmed so that when people who aren't, who don't care about the law, who aren't legal to have a firearm, in other words, all the gun control in the world applies to these juveniles. They can't go buy a handgun. They can't do any of that. Nope. Not legal to have it. They were in bars, not legal to have it. Oh, yeah, you're getting to that. Wait a minute. Yeah, they talk about that. They say that they believe the teenage boys may have had too much to drink. And yes, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission's confirmed to KVUE that it has been working with the Austin police in connection with the shooting. So laws and where you have to show ID, you know, all that stuff apparently didn't do a darn thing to keep 17-year-olds. It's not like the drinking age is 18 when I was a kid. It's 21. But they were on 6th Street, and apparently they're saying they were drunk. They're not legal to have firearms. In other words, all gun control applies to them now. They point out in this story that youth delinquency is contributing to a spike in the overall crime rate in Austin. They provide some stats, but that doesn't stop the lefty. You know, it's Mayor Steve Adler. He's deflecting blame for this violence, even though it's been a steady rise for years now in Austin, blaming it on a lack of adequate state and national gun restrictions. Forgetting that the 17-year-olds, all these gun restrictions, and more than they'll openly admit to, a ban and making it completely illegal to have the firearm and carry it around, apply to these juveniles. So once again, we see how the mind doesn't work in the heads of Democrats. Both of the suspects, juveniles, both of the suspects well under the legal drinking age, and yet apparently they were intoxicated. That's speculation, but it's in the reporting. TABC trying to figure out where they got served. They go out, they start this deal, shoot people, a man's died. Well, oh, and remember, they wouldn't carry their descriptions either because it was black and stuff like that. And they said, that just leads to stereotypes. Well, I'm sorry. The way things are the way things are. That's it. Facts are facts. Situation is what it is. And gun control already applies to these people. Sure didn't stop them. Back in a moment, my friends.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
He's built companies in Texas since the Reagan reelect, paid personal and business taxes, dealt with regulation at every turn, and all the while been hip deep in Texas politics. A host who has done much more than sit and talk. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, friends and neighbors. In the Texas Hour, we take a look at our Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Hiring? Check for safety with drug testing, alliedcompliance.com. Well, here's the problem. You got Lubbock and Abilene, just an example. There are plenty of other places, very conservative cities, and their state reps have drifted and drifted, or some, like in the case of Abilene, started out being very, very far from the conservative mainstream and base of the Republican Party and of their fellow legislators. It's always funny when Texans for Fiscal Responsibility come out with their excellent fiscal index, which is really the most transparent, the most accurate in the state, because then they say, well, that's those conservatives over there. Except that once again, for the many, many sessions in a row, Rice University's Baker School, with their big professor there, is out with their listing on the House. They hadn't released the Senate yet, but Mark Jones, who's been on the show, has his out. And once again, it lines up right in line with those dastardly conservatives and that Michael Quinn Sullivan over at Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. It sure does. And Texas Monthly, you know, very liberal left-wing magazine. They only praise Republicans who go for liberal things and lefty stuff. And if you read, their thing's huge and long. If you read it, I mean, every Republican that gets praised for agreeing with Democrats. And all the Republicans that get called the worst legislators, like Senator Perry of Lubbock, it's because they were mainstream conservatives. Liberal Texas Monthly includes Lubbock Representative Burroughs among its, my rep, among its 10 best legislatures. That ought to be a political death knell in Lubbock. Of course, Senator Duncan got that treatment for a long time in Lubbock. Lubbock's conservative Senator Charles Perry was listed among the worst. And what do they do in this? Why do they say that Burroughs is great? Well, they talk about the scandal with the previous speaker and all that, and then say, who'd want to work with the Machiavelli of the High Plains this session? For one, new speaker Dade Phelan, Bonin's successor. Phelan surprised many by appointing Burroughs chairman of the powerful House Calendars Committee, which sets the agenda for floor debate. Burroughs quickly proved you don't necessarily need goodwill to be effective if you have power. Early this year, one of the 10 he backstabbed told him, I can work with you, but I don't trust you. Problem is that sentiment's getting out to people that know you personally and have known you before you became an elected official. Burroughs, now this is Texas Liberal Monthly's take, but take it for what it's worth. They praised him, named him one of the top. Burroughs was essential in orchestrating closed-door meetings to reach deals on contentious legislation and stuck his neck out to block some of the ugliest proposals. This session, Texas lawmakers, like those in 36 other states, introduced a slate of bills targeting trans rights. They're not talking about transmissions. They're talking about people that think they're another sex from what they are. Working with Alphabet Sexuality Alphabet groups and big business, Burroughs set debate on two such bills so low on the calendars they didn't come up for a vote before the end of the session. A homicide with no fingerprints. Yeah, except we all know, even Texas Monthly knows, he could have put those on earlier. By May, the lawmaker who begrudgingly worked with Burroughs said he still didn't fully trust the Lubbock rep, but even he conceded that Mr. Fix-It had done a fair job of steering the calendars committee. That's at least one thing Burroughs doesn't need to apologize for. So why are they praising Burroughs? Because he steered it in favor of the leftist agenda. And of course, when they name Senator Perry the worst, or one of the worst, it's they don't like him because he's a Christian. They start off that way. He's seen himself as an instrument of God's will, like the early Christians cast with the lions in the Colosseum. They can't stand people who stand for their faith and for biblical teaching and truth. Oh, they keep talking about God all through this. It's terrible. And every sentence is dripping with this anti... by the way, don't get all exercised, folks. The ultimate judge is Jesus Christ himself and the Father. The Trinity, the Holy Trinity, these people will find their judgment, and it's not pleasant, and we need to pray for them because it's horrific to be offered eternal life in the presence of God, the Father, the Creator of all that is, seen and unseen, known and unknown, and to be separate from God for eternity and have your soul in damnation. They go on by Perry's, let's see, this session by Perry's lights. The Almighty was particularly concerned with the growing threat to, talking about the homosexual agenda and all that. So they beat him up. They praise Dustin Burroughs for helping the homosexual agenda out. Then you get over here, you look at the Texans for Fiscal Responsibility Fiscal Index, which is out today. You can find it at texastaxpayers.com. And you go through and look at the reps. I mean, look at their scores. Good friends like Matt Schaefer of Tyler, who used to live in Lubbock, great guy. I mean, he's up there in the very top of the conservatives. Schaefer's got a 91 on their score. I think the Mark Jones made him the most conservative in the deal. There's a bunch of guys that are big, well-known names. So don't buy this order. Well, you can't get anything done if you don't go along with whatever. No, there's a bunch of people up there in that top that are far more conservatives. There's scores in the 90s. I kid you not, 90s and 80s, a lot of people in the 80s. But if you go look and you want to look at my old friend, John Frullo of Lubbock, continues just to get worse and worse and worse. His score is way down in there and not in the conservative cohort at all in the deal. Frullo was James Frank in Wichita Falls, comes in with a horrible 53 on the conservative index. Frullo comes in with a 43. You know, and remember I talk about Charlie Guerin a lot. You want to know, he's 31. You know, I mean, they're right down there by the Democrats. In fact, literally on the list, the next person down is a Democrat. Well, that's not, I don't have it in order of score. I'm looking at name. Drew Darby in San Angelo is always a 37. Nothing conservative about these people at all. And in that listing for Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, Dustin Burroughs, a 39. This is awful. Awful. Stan Lambert, oh my gosh, Stan Lambert's just, as you would expect, extraordinarily horrible. Not anywhere near being a conservative, a 41. That's the problem. Brooks Landgraf in Odessa, a 69, whereas my reps are down there in the 40s and 30s. Stuff like that, 50, what, and Ken King of a Canadian, 33, one of the most liberals. Now, oh, that's those evil conservatives. See, that's what they used to say. The problem is Mark Jones at Rice uses a scholarly method, and he's got this list ranked from most to least conservative. Matt Schaefer's the most conservative, followed by Briscoe Kane, then Brian Slayton, then Steve Toth, then Cody Vasuth, then Tony Tenderholt, then Terry Wilson, Cole Hefner, Mays Middleton, Jared Patterson, Jeff Carson, Shelby Slauson, Valerie Swanson, Kyle Biederman, Matt Shaheen, Matt Krause, Justin Hall. In other words, there's a lot of people. Then you cross one of the little dividing lines and you have to keep going down and you have to keep going down and you have to keep going down. Then you get way over here to, to all kinds of people. You keep going down. You keep, oh, there's James Frank. Oh, you keep going down. There's Glenn Rogers, newly elected, one of the more liberal in the House, now near four Price. This is the Rice University listing. Dustin Burroughs, way down below James Frank and Glenn Rogers and Trent Ashby. Stan Lambert, more liberal than Dustin on this score. John Frullo, two more down. Trav Clardy, awful, way down even further. Folks, this is disgusting. It is disgusting. They can spin this all day, but when the big conservative deal ranks them that way, but then what? But then the great Texas Tribune published, you know, Baker School at Rice, Dr. Mark Jones, they all love, he comes in and confirms the exact same thing in his deal. And then Texas Monthly praises you because you were liberal and stood up for the homosexual agenda and goes after Senator Perry for doing for living his life according to biblical teaching and what he professes in his faith. Something's happened to these people, my friends, and I guess it's time that voters take a real look at them and maybe some folks decide some primary challenges. I don't know. But it's when they're personal friends, it's just, well, it's more of the same, but it's disgusting and it's heartbreaking.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
And now a man who asks, if you're afraid of the law-abiding being armed, just what do you ask businesses to do about criminals? Think a sign effectively bans them too? It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I just saw a headline at one of these political blogs. Travis County jail expansion makes no sense. So, of course, they might do it anyway. Doesn't that seem to be the way government works? Texas Governor Abbott says he's going to seek donations for a new border wall. He was doing a podcast interview with somebody. He said, when I do make the announcement later this week, I'll be providing a link that you can click on and go to for everybody in the United States, really everybody in the entire world who wants to help Texas build the border wall. There'll be a place on there where they can contribute, he said. And in this interview, he pledged complete transparency in the fundraising effort, promised everyone will know every penny in, every penny out, but the sole purpose of those funds will be to build a border wall, which actually, if you read things carefully, as I told you, is border barriers. So there's just no way the feds couldn't even, it took a decade to even get some of the condemnations done to build a contiguous border wall, just in not even a whole wall, just sections. Lieutenant Governor Patrick coming out, putting his support, just like the AG has behind the governor. He said, thanks to President Biden, illegal border crossings are at a 20-year high with almost 200,000 apprehended this past month alone. Number of criminals entering the country is also breaking records, along with human trafficking and drug trafficking. Texas cannot afford to stand by and allow this to happen. While Vice President Harris continues to laugh and everything the Biden administration does makes the situation worse, he said, Lieutenant Governor Patrick said, although we know this is a federal responsibility, I made sure the new state budget increased our already substantial commitment to border security. Okay, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, he said, Abbott has my 100% support to move forward. I will do whatever it takes to ensure Texas has the funding to continue to build the border wall. I think it's funny that as soon as we get a real challenger, Huffines in the GOP primary, all of a sudden Abbott goes full Huffines on this stuff, pointing out you had this ability for 7 years and you did nothing about it then. Biden's ICE shuts down Trump-era initiative to help victims of illegal aliens. I had a story on this earlier in the stack I never got to. Eric Linderman at American Greatness pointing it out today. Says, under the orders of Biden, Immigration and Customs Enforcement ordered the shutdown of an office created by President Trump for the purpose of helping victims of crimes committed by illegal aliens, of course, reported by CNN. Right, because that's the whole idea. Screw the American people. 70% of illegal migrants in May entered Texas-based border sectors. In other words, 70% of the illegal crossings in last month came through Texas border sectors. It's a massive. I want you to think about it. Does your city have 172,000 people in it? Can you imagine in 1 month that many people, enough to be larger than many cities in Texas, over just in 1 month show up on the scene? How do you think the schools, how do you think hospitals and first responders and our infrastructure can handle this? They can't. This is the problem. There was a migrant, one of these illegal alien females, they were trying to jump on a train out there in the Laredo sector in West Texas, and she fell and got hurt pretty bad. A report in Breitbart yesterday that one migrant dead, four rescued in 100-plus heat near the border in Texas. 100 migrants found in stash house near the border. We see these all the time. This was in the Laredo sector, reported by Bob Price at Breitbart, Texas. And they talk about the people that there. They say, oh, days earlier, 182 migrants in three stash houses were found in a two-hour period in that same sector. It's just insanity, ladies and gentlemen, and there's absolutely nothing about any of this that's compassionate towards anyone, not to Americans, not to the working poor in this country, who have people who will work off the books, take their jobs. You know, it's funny, Democrats are always into this minimum wage stuff, and yet they're the proponents of the very black market system that suppresses the wages of working folks. And this is where they get the team up with U.S. Chamber of Commerce types and people like that who want the open borders. Because it lowers costs. And when are these folks that vote Democrat going to wake up and realize how, some of them know it, but how grossly they've been sold out by the Democratic Party? What do you think when you have millions of people in the country illegally is going to, and of course their solution on the left is, we'll just legalize everybody and then they'll work in the straight economy. No, they won't. I've been around this. I've seen what it does. I've seen crews hire people, pay them cash, no questions asked. Nobody wants to really clamp down on the employers. Very few do that are in power. It's always going to be an underground economy. You'll always have some of that no matter what you do. But in this case, we're talking about, you got 200,000 people in 1 month that were captured. Think of all the ones that got away. It's probably double the figure or more total people that came in. I mean, you could be close talking about nearly 500,000 people in 1 month. So if you're one of these bleeding hearts worried about the working poor, who the heck do you think takes the job working in the kitchen or working wherever it is at lower than the prevailing wage rates? It's the folks who are living in an illegal underground economy. And the Democrats are 100% for that. Now that, my friends, is not any kind of pro-working person, pro-poor person, pro-anything, not pro-the country. It is simply a recipe for people being abused. Speaking of the economy, I am extraordinarily worried about inflation. Inflation, people my age were kids when we went through this before, and they sort of know it's a bad thing, but they don't quite realize how pernicious it is. I did a very nice interview today with Dr. Merrill Matthews at the Institute for Policy Innovation on this subject and what's going on. And you've podcast users and those who haven't tried it yet, you just go to prideontexas.com, click on that deal where it says the podcasts are there. I will have that up in the next day or so. We'll probably excerpt a few pieces into the show later this week, but it was a good piece. You got Janet Yellen, one of our officials, talking about how inflation will be good for us. All inflation does is make the money you have worth less. I love it when people say, well, my made my house my, made worth a lot more. Boy, I made out on that. No, not in that kind of inflation, because every other thing relative to it went up in value. So you have no increased purchasing power. Wake up. This stuff is horrible. World War II generally came about because of inflation. It's why the Germans were so careful about inflation. All during the Cold War, West Germany, the German mark was one of the greatest currencies in the world. No matter whether it was a left-wing or center-right government in Germany, they always, before this European Union fiasco, worried about inflation and having a stable currency. They'd been through it. The Weimar Republic, everything fell apart because of inflation. Devaluations, all these things in Latin America that instantly put millions of people in utter poverty over and over. All over the world, this stuff, it destroys everything. It leads to revolution. It is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. So we had a good interview. That'll be up. Be looking for it. I'll get it up there as soon as I can. Those Houston Methodist employees that the health system there is getting rid of because they won't take this unproven and possibly dangerous COVID-19 vaccine. Most of them have had the disease, so they already have better antibodies than the dang vaccine gives you. Of course, that U.S. judge at 79 years old excoriated them and threw their deal out. They've appealed to the Fifth Circuit. Big piece in the Chronicle today explaining how they might have better luck at the Chronicle, and that the Fifth Circuit has really jumped all over this federal judge, a Reagan appointee, but many times. There's a history of them jumping all over this judge. We'll see. I wish them luck on this. My friends, long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all and get you tickets to that big Abilene event at proudontexas.com. A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at proudontexas.com.